Go ahead.
Okay, I'm sorry. Now so you mean a movie that features Brad Pitt, George Clooney, not Richard Lewis, but somebody in the same realm as him, Catherine Zeta-Jones, and Cockney Don Cheadle. Oh, yeah, and the nigga from Hawaii Five-0. You mean to tell me that doesn't sound like a good fucking movie?
Listen, we've all seen Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, and it's not a good movie. I don't care what names are attached to it. It's not a good film.
Hold on, wait a second. Nah. That's Loki, my favorite out the series, dog.
Chamber of Secrets, nigga? You a Ginny Weasley ass nigga?
No. And that's why, because she ended up being a terrible fucking person who caused the deaths of a lot of people, or nearly caused the deaths of a lot of people.
It ain't her fault. Did she do that?
I just really I like the book. Fuck with the movie. I really enjoyed the game on PS2 back in the day. That bitch was fire. So
I don't think I ever played Harry Potter like on a system. I had a computer game. That shit was dumb fire.
Yeah.
You'd use the mouse to hit my Wingardium Leviosa and whatnot.
Oh yeah. No, I'm hip. It's weird because every single one was different, and like not different in a good way. But Chamber of Secrets had the best balance between, you know, that work-life balance the niggas always talk about, between like going to class, completing your studies, completing challenges, playing Quidditch, trying to win a Quidditch Cup, all that shit. Hell of a game, man. Hell of a game.
If I can go back in time and experience what you experienced, my brother.
But that ain't what we're here to talk about. What we're here to talk about is the Big 5-0.
Is 50, aka Ferrari F50.
F50.
It's been a little while. We gave y'all a little break. but we back at it for you wanksters.
Yeah, man. I feel like we originally planned on making this 50th episode something special. However, no.
Fuck.
maybe 100. You know, maybe 200. Who knows? But 50, nah, we just gonna give y'all the same eclectic shit that we always do. So, if you've been here, you know, from episodes 1 through now, or episode 2 to now.
Remember, we dropped episode 1.
Yes. With 2. Or, you know, if this is maybe your first listen, welcome. We're happy to have you here. Come on in. It's nice and comfy.
Come on and sit down. Make yourself comfortable. pour yourself a glass of whatever. Roll up whatever you need to. Real quick, in the background, I got the I don't know if it's Allen Iverson's birthday or something, but
is every day not his B-day? Or, as Jocelyn Hernandez would say, do it like it's my B-day. Do it like it's my B-day.
I wish I could quote some Jocelyn for you. But
every wish is for field.
It's either his birthday or he passed and I didn't know it. Because they're running like a marathon. That's the only time they won marathons. It's like Twitter.
That's true.
When you're trending, it's only like one of two things that happen. But this is they got game one of the 01 finals on.
Yes.
When he went crazy. Oh, and man. I saw morning I had on one game his rookie year when he was getting busy in the Gund Arena. Or Gund Center, yes. Whatever it was called.
The Gund Arena at the time, and yes, I recall that game quite clearly.
It's giving Terrell Brandon and Chris Mills that work.
Yeah, it was giving them niggas the blues, and Derek Anderson as well. But you know what? I think the Cavs ended up winning that game.
Oh, they for sure did.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, because, you know, that Allen Iverson, Jerry Stackhouse thing never worked out too well.
Not enough Clarence Witherspoon, like I always say.
Big spoon. But, of course, King AI, you know, my favorite player of all time. A lot of other people from our generation's favorite player. Can't deny the man. Sure. But you also can't deny the ills. And there have been quite a few ills being passed out over the last few weeks since we recorded. Before we get into, you know, all of the fun stuff, you know, and all the slandering of Wes's favorite things.
Man, listen.
We, you know, got to start, obviously, with some brevity. You know, if you were the L's, man, of course, we all about the jokes. But, of course, we are always about what's going on in our world, in our country, especially to our black folk who can't never seem to catch a break, man. And this time it is the wrath of Hurricane Ida. You know, almost, it was 16 years to the day from Katrina when it landed in New Orleans. And once again, you know, New Orleans was failed by their horrible infrastructure. I don't know how New Orleans ever survived, like, from, like, the 1700s when it first got built. Like, terrible infrastructure. It's in a terrible place. And that's coming from a nigga who lives on a Great Lake.
So, yeah, their location doesn't do a lot of justice for them. And it seems to be somewhat of a, not necessarily poor city, but it's not necessarily a huge tourist destination outside of like one weekend of the year.
Yeah.
So it's tough for them to kind of sustain. And we keep seeing situations every decade or so now, they get hit with these storms coming right from the Gulf of Mexico and it fucks them up.
Actually, this disaster speaks to a couple of things. It is one, as we mentioned, the failure of the city of New Orleans to protect its residents by improving its infrastructure, and also the wrath of fucking Mother Nature when you treat her like shit for, you know, every day since the Industrial Revolution.
Mother Nature ain't no hoe.
No, not at all. Well, actually, she hoes when she wants to because she has autonomy over her own body. But,
shout out to the hoes, I guess.
Wes setting us back 50 years.
That's right.
It basically, so this time, you know, originally it was the levees in Katrina days that failed because they were not basically up to par. And it was kind of like 9/11, you know, when Bush got that report, what was it, a month before 9/11? It was like, hey, we probably about to get smoked. And, you know, either just didn't take it seriously enough or didn't pay attention to it. Mm-hmm. And same situation here happened with the levees and, you know, when the city's entire levee system failed. And this time it's the electricity. Once again, this was something that was cited that was saying, hey, in the event of another disaster, things could go left real quick and our, you know, residents could go weeks and weeks and weeks without getting their power back. And New Orleans did not elect to spend the money to improve the electric grid. And now they're in a situation where hospitals who are already filled to the brim with COVID patients, hospitals are without electricity. Generators are out. People are carrying, shout out to all of the hospital workers. They are carrying people upstairs. They are manually pumping ventilators by hand to keep people alive. It's some wild shit going on, and it was also avoidable.
Yeah, I mean, there's only so much you can do to kind of prevent or prepare for a storm like this. But like as it stands, like now, there's like I think more than a million. I'm reading more than a million homes and businesses are without power, and a lot of them really don't have any chance of getting power anytime soon. And I got an alert earlier on my phone talking about the city was asking people who evacuated just to kind of stay out. Like we're not going to have power for at least like weeks to a month or so. So there's no real sense of you trying to come back. So that's
nobody in or out of Gotham.
Yeah, that's really what it really is. And it's tough because people, when you are asked to evacuate like this, especially on short notice, you're not planning to be gone for weeks or a month at a time.
Mm-mm.
So this is going to put undue strain on neighboring cities, neighboring states, and the people who are affected. But then that goes without even speaking to the people who are still waiting to be rescued. Because there's still people who are rescued in their houses, in their attics, just trying to avoid the water and the mess is going on beneath them. And it's crazy, man.
One of the saddest / most horrifying trending topics I ever seen was, I can't remember what the city is, but it's like a smaller town outside of New Orleans. And it was trending, I think, number 2, because Donda over everything. We'll get to that soon. It was trending number 2, and it was all people asking to be rescued. Like, hey, we own Blase Blah Street, mm-hmm. you know, 3,100 block of blah, 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 four juveniles, two adults trapped in the attic. Please come help. And it was thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of these tweets, Wes. Like, and yeah. it was us. It was all us, man.
Yeah, say New Orleans black as hell, man. Especially the parts that are getting hit heavy with it. And I did run across that trending topic, and that's just sad to see. I mean, it's people who are reaching out for their lives and the lives of their family members because the city or their small towns didn't do enough to prepare to prevent this. And that's something we see kind of across different entities, especially when it's involving black and brown people with natural disasters. It's not enough is done beforehand, and on the back end, tons and tons of families and family structures and individuals are hurt behind it.
Yeah. And the one thing you talk about is it's always, you always hearing, oh, well, why didn't you evacuate? Why didn't you stay there? Or why did you stay there? Like, you know, and I think as a kid with Katrina, I didn't understand why everybody didn't evacuate. You know, like I, you know, grew up living a very blessed life where, you know, fortunately I never needed anything. You know, I always had everything that I needed, and we always had a car, you know, a lot of times two cars. And this is not trying to flaunt any type of privilege that I've had in my life. It just, I think it was hard for me to understand, like, how can you not have enough to leave during an event that's going to kill you? You know what I'm saying? And it was just like, how do you not have money to hop in your car and just drive as far as you possibly can? But like, people aren't built like this, you know? Like, these neighborhoods are not built to withstand, you know, a lot of these disasters. And, you know, we've talked about in a couple of pods, we've talked about like environmental racism. That's a big ass thing too. Where in the events of these, some of these disasters, you know, these things, you know, natural resources are sent away. You know, rivers are not supposed to flow through these areas. They're not supposed to get great sunlight. They get, you know, the backdraft from all the chemicals from factories and shit. And it's always the same thing here. You know, these neighborhoods aren't designed to withstand natural disasters like this. And these people don't have money to get up and leave. And they just have to imagine just sitting there and waiting for your impending death.
Right. That's the thing I'm saying. Like you were speaking to kind of how we, cause I came up just like you, but imagine like, you're living in New Orleans and your closest family member is in, I don't know, Memphis, but you don't have a car. You take the bus to work and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So there's no real place for you to go. You ain't got the bread to go get your family in Memphis. So you kind of are stuck where you are. And that's why we saw like Katrina and like we've seen here, so many people just have to ride out because they literally have no other choice. There is no other option for them in certain cases. But a good note, I mean, honestly, I've seen that there were like two confirmed deaths so far, which when we saw the when you look at the pictures and then the gravity of everything, I'm sure that's going to go up. But at least through this point, you would think there would be more. So that's not something to kind of look. It's not a blessing because life is lost. But it's a blessing that more life hasn't been lost to this point, because this is one of the most powerful storms to ever hit New Orleans.
Without a doubt. And one thing, if anything has been different, you know, we talk about all the parallels that can be drawn between Ida and Katrina. But one thing that has been there has been a stark contrast in is how seriously people have taken it. You know, Katrina, it was just a lot of, oh, this is just another storm. I've been through this my whole life. This is just part of being from New Orleans. You know, I'm going down with the ship. XYZ will be fine. You know, people throwing hurricane parties, XYZ. And then it wipes out the majority of the city. But this time, nah, those wounds are still very fresh. And even for the people that did not have the means to evacuate or batten down their homes, they knew exactly what was coming. And I think because of that, a lot of lives that could have been lost and were lost 16 years ago will not be lost now. So, as you said, definitely a positive.
Yeah, and if you are a betting person, like I tend to be, you got to go ahead and you got to at least look at putting some future money on a Saints Super Bowl. Because last time we had, when Katrina hit, it was like 3 or 4 years after Katrina, they won the Super Bowl.
Well, it is Jameis time.
I say, and we got a black Jameis is back.
I think Jameis about to go crazy.
I don't know about go crazy, honestly, but I think he's gonna be fine.
Nah, man, I think that boy gonna be a Pro Bowl alternate. You heard it here first.
Well, of course he's gonna be a Pro Bowl alternate because the Pro Bowl starter is gonna be in the Super Bowl. But we're gonna get to that a little bit later.
Oh man, listen, this is where a lot of the slander comes in. Usually,
on the podcast, we kind of discuss topics beforehand. Last episode, we kind of just freestyled it. But this episode, Austin hit me beforehand and said he got some smoke from me on some of my favorite topics. So we didn't talk about anything beforehand.
Yes, indeed.
So I'm going to give my natural reaction to whatever bullshit he spews out next.
Okay, well, see what we got here on the rundown sheet. Ah, yes. So, particularly infamous article or interview hit the interwebs last week. Your boy, Magic Johnson. Let's talk.
Listen, what's that? His family call him Buck. Buck a wild nigga, dog. Buck is a wild nigga. Perhaps the most wildest nigga of all time.
No, that's not a topic, but that interview is absolutely some of this. It is insane. Like, you want to talk about hindsight being 2020? Jesus Christ. Yeah. Once again, also, thankful that...
Go ahead. My fault.
Thankful that Magic Johnson's still with us.
Oh, of course. I was going to say, just the most egregious part, I had to tweet about it, but like, if you've seen the interview, I don't know what year shape-ups were truly invented, because it varies, because you go back to like the 60s and you catch a nigga with a nice shape-up, but then... It's iffy because you can never really tell, because Magic Johnson's lineup in that interview was disgusting. It was horrible. He's a rich nigga in the early 90s. And he had no excuse for having a lineup that's bad. It's that might be my thesis. I'm going to do a dissertation on the Negro lineup and how it has varied throughout the year.
That would actually be good. Cause I seen somebody, DJ posted a picture about I still ain't forgot when y'all niggas was walking around with double lines. And I was like, wow,
that was the thing.
Niggas had double lineups.
I used to kind of want one of those.
Yeah, well, but man, luckily
the only way I would have done it if I had like the slick back ponytail, like a little fizz. But that's for another day.
We have survived dark times, and you know, the city of New Orleans and the people of New Orleans will survive dark times too.
Yes, sir.
Stay tuned to our Twitter accounts. Myself at Uptown Ace Boogie, at Ain't That Wiz, and the show Twitter at Beware the Ills. We will definitely be shooting out some links for people to be able to donate, because that is very, very important. And most importantly, even with that, knowing which are the correct organizations to donate to, because you could also end up sending money to, you know, some Nigerian prince, you know, and niggas running off and eating crab legs and Casamigos with money you were trying to save the city with.
It's an ugly game, but we're gonna get you right. Pay attention. We'll get you them links.
So, speaking of the scam gods, you know, while niggas like Tyron Woodley maybe setting the black community back for a few decades, the Bishop Sycamore, what's their nickname? Niggas?
It's got to be real niggas. Real niggas are old niggas.
The Bishop Sycamore real niggas may have pulled off the greatest heist since Ocean's 11, which I just watched for the first time.
Shout out to your state for making this whole thing happen. Wow. Ohio niggas give it up.
I am in awe. I'm in awe that such an elaborate ruse would get pulled off. Like, this is dead ass some American Crime Story shit.
Listen, I don't even think it was that elaborate. These niggas made a website. These niggas ordered East Bay jerseys. And that was that. Somebody.
No, bro. It's pretty elaborate just because of, if they was just playing random games against teams, you know, in the Ohio area, cool. How the hell do you get the number four schedule in the country and nobody knows anything about you? How do you get multiple nationally televised games? This shit was so bad, the fucking announcers was blowing down on them in the middle of the game. It was like, hey, I'ma keep it a bean with you, Buck. We don't know anything about these guys. These kids, kids in quotations. We don't know any information. We don't know where any of them are from. This it's getting dangerous out there. I mean, to TBH.
Honestly. Like, the jig should have been up once they came out there with no type of emblem, good Lord, emblem on their helmets or on their jersey. Nothing.
Them niggas didn't have enough helmets for every position. They didn't have enough numbers for every position. They said it got to the point where they ever have multiple niggas lining up, like, beside each other in the same number jerseys.
I don't
two wide receivers lining, one in the slot, one on the end, both wearing number four.
I don't hate that. I'm all for deception. but this whole story is ridiculous.
It is, you know, I think it was back on episode 4 or 3 or 4 where we discussed the scam guy Tyrone Hankerson. But I don't know, man. He that nigga may have to give it up, bruh.
Oh no. We not taking it. Recency bias is hitting you heavy. You remember this nigga was skipping across the lane. Yeah,
at first. He was. I forgot about
that. He had his toes out. He had his toes out. That's in cleats on all these sycamore niggas. But
oh man.
Yeah, this really is a knock on ESPN, because ESPN, you're the worldwide leader in sports, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would expect you to do some sort of a little bit of research when you're looking to book teams and book games to have, instead of just saying, you know what? If a team calls you and says, hey, we want to be we're playing so-and-so, put us on TV, and you guys are just like, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think this really illuminated to me, a layman, really illuminated how, like, this high school, you know, nationally televised game process works. Because what I assumed, it was kind of like, I know, like, high school sports in our area here is like, okay, you have a certain number of games every week, and at, you know, whoever's the number one station for broadcasting high school sports, I think in this case it'd probably be like Sports Time Ohio. I thought they just go down the schedule and be like, boom, 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 boom. All right, we got Mount Carmel versus Oak Hill. Sure, we're gonna pick that up and we're gonna show that on Sports Time Ohio, and that's gonna be the game of the week. I thought that's how it went. I didn't know niggas could just call ESPN or the outside firm that ESPN uses, Paragon Marketing, and just be like, hey, can we be on TV, boss? I mean, we'll shine the helmets up real nice.
I don't even think it was even that. It was like, hey, bro, can we be on TV? And ESPN was like, yeah. And then that was that. I don't know. There was no promises of shoe shining.
It's wild. So many things, bro. I mean, what they say? There's never been a Bishop Sycamore. That lets you know these some fucking niggas. They didn't even bother to use an actually real bishop or cardinal or whomever.
Bishop Sycamore. It was like, is a fire name, though. I'm surprised there hasn't been a Bishop Sycamore.
Very true.
But yeah, it could have been disproven literally within 10 minutes. But somehow they made it to the worldwide leader in sports and got to play one of the best teams in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And got their ass whooped.
Oh, man.
And we didn't even talk about the fact that
they grown-ass niggas?
A lot of these niggas are older than your average high schoolers out there trying to get their longest yard on.
And that's what it is. Them niggas got fucking Brucey and fucking Cap Canaver out there. And they look like
reference.
And thank you. Longest Yard's an absolute classic. But, like, they got their ass whooped by little niggas. You shared that tweet to the group chat of when that little nigga had Cat Williams in the headlock. And that's basically what it was. Like, imagine being, I'm assuming some of these niggas 24, 25. Just, I mean, if you gonna push it, might as well push it all the way to the edge. out there getting their asses whooped by niggas that have to pay people money outside the gas station to buy them beer.
It's sickening. It's really bad. Like, it's, and to be honest, you guys are lucky that this didn't come around back when I was fresh up. I had my dumb ass playing versus Dunbar at the stadium. Imagine what I would have done if I had helmets with no emblem, jerseys with no sponsors, nigga. I would have been
nigga like, kids.
Oh my.
I guess that's what they said on the website. Cause it was like when niggas try to go to their website, first of all, it was some boof ass shit. Of course, it was like a blog page, like a Wix page. Went shit on there. They didn't have no about nothing. But I guess they had a GoFundMe trying to raise $50,000 for new equipment in new jerseys. And first of all, absolutely filled with grammatical errors. They said they started GoFundMe a month ago. They've only gotten $200. Sound like Dr. Umar school.
Dr. Umar will be in Delaware next weekend.
But yeah, and it said like something like, please donate to our program. You know, we're a new charter school. You know, our kids want to go to college and they want to be better men and they want to be good fathers. And it's like, wait, how many of these niggas are fathers?
Like, matter of fact, that's a great point. That's not something you put in a high school recruit. Like you say, eventually become great fathers, not be great. These niggas want to be best baby daddies, and they want to run down the sidelines one more time.
Out there looking like Bernice from Dodgeball.
Oh man,
just so many things, bro. They played 2 games in 3 days. Which, that's football standard, no, that is ridiculous.
That's wild. Even high school, when you're playing, like, you're practicing pretty hard, you're playing once a week is the norm across all levels of sports. So playing two full games in 72 hours is a...
Well, when you're 30 years old, you know, your body is sick. It's seen a little more wear and tear you can withstand.
I'm saying when you're a man, you know what I'm saying? And your competition is going through puberty, you might be able to play a little bit more than the average buck.
Man,
this whole story is stupid.
When your competition can't walk through the mall without chaperones after 6 p.m.
You tackle a nigga and then you gotta drive him home because his permit don't work on the weekends.
Oh man, what else? They played 2 games in 3 days. Their head coach currently has an active arrest warrant.
They said my man was frauding.
Yeah, for jugging niggas out of $100,000.
$200.
Right. No, but apparently this is the second incarnation though. Bishop Sycamore. It's
the remix, okay.
When these niggas first came out, they was titty boy. You feel me? They got some titty boy donations. You feel me? Try to get the program up and going, and the shit fell apart. Then niggas rebranded.
Oh, let me see, what's my man's name? I just saw it. They went and got a Jalen Knight for the remix. That's their quarterback who. This paragraph as well, because he stated that he's a 3-star prospect in the 2023 class.
My nigga Trillian Harris, first of all, that's a hell of a name.
Tremendous.
That's
name.
A hell of a name.
There are a lot of good names involved in this story. I'm really not hating on the people involved. But yeah, Trillian Harris, who's like 24, Jalen Knight, who's got to be in his mid-20s. It's just a crazy scene. And for this to happen in this day and age, like this shit could have definitely happened. Even like 10, 15 years ago.
So easily.
Off like that. People probably did pull some shit off like this. But for it to happen nowadays is nuts.
Them niggas only had black jerseys. So even though the home team wore black, they had to wear black too.
Come on. You know East Bay be giving deals out. That's fucked up. You know you can buy 50, get 50 free.
That's the niggas got... They got 30 players on their roster. All them niggas out there playing both ways. Oh shit!
I feel that back when on my high school team we had like 30, like 45 people, probably like the whole football program from like freshmen.
Oh man!
So I feel that, but we were also between the ages of 14 and 18 when we did decide to play. So,
they only got 30 players because them niggas got day jobs and shit. Can only come to practice on their off adults, days. Nigga. Hey, you know, like you ever played growing up and you always go up against like that one like obnoxiously large kid with like a thyroid issue, and then your dad be like, "Yeah, that's a big little nigga. This is what this is."
Okay? No, that's not what this is. This is when you're a young nigga and you play against niggas who are 5 years older than you. who are just that big as well. This ain't no fair fight. They just happen to be bigger. These are grown-ass men playing against these. These niggas got TikToks. They played against niggas who was on MySpace in real time. That's sick shit.
Oh,
that's
man.
Real sick shit.
Oh, man.
Ohio defense.
This is some of the most wildly duplicitous shit that we've ever seen in the internet age of high school sports. But speaking of niggas getting scammed, yeah, so y'all let Kanye do it to you again, didn't you?
Guess y'all let Kanye get you tonight. So, I know God breathed on this.
Kanye West got y'all niggas again, got y'all hyped up, thinking he's about to drop this fucking Mona Lisa with better features. This old I never stuck my cock in a fox's box, Picasso baby.
Oh boy.
And he gave y'all macaroni painting. Yeah, that's a little better than that. I give him paper mache.
Absolutely. Biggie threw some color pencils. Did you end up last time we spoke about it, you hadn't listened at the time. Have you listened to it?
Well, yeah, as you know, as we've discussed a million times, I really do not support Kanye West in any way, but I'm not gonna lie, the curiosity got to me. And not even as a former Kanye fan, but I really low-key just wanted to see how far off the deep end this man is gone, and I was not let down by that. I will say the album, it definitely has its highlights. You know, it got some strong production in some areas. We got some really good features too. Specifically, that boy Favio, of course. Favio went insane-o on that shit, but it's just, it lacks focus, it lacks character. You see for the last pre-release show, this nigga had DaBaby and fucking Marilyn Manson on stage and was trying to get Trump there as well.
Hey man, bring your niggas out.
Oh man, it's once again a man that is so far gone, is so far in the sunken place that it's almost at times feel like the good times never existed. And that's crazy to understand what Kanye contributed to black people, to the culture, to music, forever changing the sound of music, to hear where he at now. And it's trash. And I understand that, you know, it's a tribute to his mom. And I do think those particular moments were beautiful and very well done. But just the music itself, he's not talking about anything. He ain't talking about shit. And just because he's quote-unquote saved don't mean he's talking about shit. You can still not talk about anything. Listen, real artists find a way to not talk about absolutely anything and still move units. And that's what Kanye does. It's definitely his best project since The Life of Pablo, for whatever that's worth. But the Kanye, the niggas keep waiting around to come back, he's gone. He's gone. Let it the fuck go. Donda gripped niggas' consciousness so bad that Donda was trending number one over the fucking hurricane yesterday.
To be fair,
like,
I've never heard a hurricane use synthesizers and 808s like that. So let's play it down the line. Let's not be a partisan like you're known to be. So as I've said on the
podcast, it's mid.
I've said on the pod before, I'm not really a Kanye fan like that, but I'm a fan of good music. So this rollout process for the album has been going on for forever. So I said, why not? Let me go ahead and at least spin it one time just to see what the bull talk about. And I came away with it saying, this is all right. This is fine. It's just a normal kind of the return,
like perfectly acceptable.
Yeah, it's a return to kind of a normal Kanye project. Like you were speaking to, there are some highlights. I did like the production a lot on pretty much all the songs.
It was well produced.
I found it to be kind of repetitive, though. The fact was, like, there are a bunch of songs that kind of have similar type beats and similar type themes, but it was all right. It's not something I tweeted this too. It's like not something I think I'm going to revisit or whatever. But it's fine for those who like Kanye. I'm sure you'll find some. I've seen people calling it classic already. I've seen sure, rational sure, takes saying similar sentiments to me. I've seen people saying the shit is horrible. So I'm sure if you listen to it, you'll kind of find your whatever your medium is. But this isn't the best we've heard from Kanye. It's not the worst we've heard from Kanye. But that's kind of what it is. I ain't got too much to say on that because it's like I don't really give a fuck in one way or the other.
Yeah, it's just how easily people. That's why I say like cancel culture is, you know, or accountability culture is not even really a true thing because it doesn't last. It's like how easily people forget the damage that Kanye West did to us as a people and perception wise in the middle of an administration that already didn't see us as people, you know, and. The way everyone has gone flocking back, buying merch all over this shit, talking about it's a classic, talking about it's the sound that he always wanted and strived for on 808s and Heartbreaks and Yeezys and blah, blah, blah. Like, listen, nigga, this is not honest to Hendrix, okay? This is not that. This is not some perfected masterpiece and after a decade he went back and mastered the sound. No, it's bullshit. There's a very fine line between visionary and false prophet. And Kanye crossed that line a long fucking time ago. And just because he's quote unquote saved does not mean that he's a good person or that he is somebody that people should continue to look to for inspiration and culture and whatever else. He's just as bad as a fucking televangelist. And it's just very disappointing how easily, again, the clout demons can get a hold of you and just revert you back to nothingness. And, you know, a lot of people may not think this particular issue, this album rollout, is that big a deal, but I think it is a massive L on the collective consciousness of Black people. Can't expect no white people to do the right thing, but you would hope that we would. Yeah. And nope. Niggas come back and support a nigga that brought out the violent homophobe, the baby, and potential serial rapist, Marilyn Manson, on stage with him. And wanted Trump on stage with him. Yeah. And played the GD anthem right before he brought Dirk out. Like, come on.
Yeah. And one thing I did want to kind of touch on, you just kind of alluded to it a little bit. Like, I think we kind of oversaturated Kanye with kind of the genius tag. Like, it's gotten to the point where we as a culture, as people, or at least as fans who are predominant throughout the culture and the people are kind of tagging or attributing kind of his genius to everything. And my thing is, we've seen Kanye be a musical genius at points. Like you spoke to, he's changed the sound of music multiple times, and done some classic legendary type shit. So just because this shit sounds better than previous shit that he has done, does not mean that this project is a genius level project.
Yep.
This isn't the best batch of beats he's done. His rapping
not even close.
Have fallen off tremendously.
Oh boy, like there's nothing there.
But yeah, so my thing is with him is like everything he does isn't genius, especially when we've seen him do genius shit before. So let's chill out and try to be more a little more honest with our music, because there's going to be times in the near future I'm going to be extremely dishonest with my music. So I'd appreciate if everybody kind of would get to be honest at this point in time.
I bet you will. Fuck Kanye. But to another nigga who deserves nothing in life. Looks like Certified Lover Boy. coming very soon. As you know, I've given Drake many a compliments on the show. I mean, gosh, we did an entire episode about him. But for every one nice thing I say about Drake, I must slander him for four things. So
at least
we're gonna start with that fucking album cover. What's going on there, buddy?
One, obviously, if that is the final album cover, I saw Elliot Wilson say it was the album cover, but I'm hoping it's not true. I don't think it will be, but either way, if it is, it lets me know that Aubrey is a tremendous father. Now, I got to that point because Apple had to drop off the bag for him to use emojis, and the money's going to go to his son, a fledgling young boy who's growing. So naturally, what father would turn down a big bag if you're only going to help your family?
A father that cares about his legacy, a father that, you know, is more than just being a passing clout demon in the night. Maybe a father that wants to leave something tangible for his young son to hold and not just being a fleeting moment in pop culture history and the nigga that can't get his hair to nap enough.
Listen, he has done way more, but he's done so much in this culture that he can tangibly leave his young mixed son many things. I'm disappointed at that, but
you didn't address his hair not napping.
Hey man, who am I? I don't know. I don't have mixed hair. I can't describe the texture from personal experience, and I wouldn't dare go off something I've seen on the internet. But yeah, if that is the album cover, I'm definitely going to change it. I have changed a few of Drake album covers in the past, and I'm not scared to do it again. So that is the cover. What other issues do you have with the impending classic?
I worry, honestly. And Quiet As Is Kept, I want this to be a great Drake album, because I don't think that Drake has put out a truly great project in quite some time. And I think that's because he hasn't had to. I mean, TBH, you know, if once again, he's at a point where he can just kind of roll out this, you know, mass produced cookie cutter formula for a Drake hit, you know, formula for the Drake stimulus. And he's going to move, you know, millions of units and be the most streamed person in the world yet again. So he hasn't had to, but I do miss the days of Drake kind of putting his heart into a project and not just putting his clout into a project. And when I say that, I mean that there's a certain bag that Drake gets in, and it's not even just like emotional. It's not just, you know, crying and singing and begging, which is also a very important ingredient in making great music. But it's just him being in a mode where it's like he turns Super Saiyan. It's almost like he just kind of, he hits that next level where he's like, yes, I am fucking killing this shit. And this is going to be something special that people are going to be talking about decades from now. And he doesn't do that anymore. And I want to see him do that. But I don't, as we get closer to the release, I don't think Certified Lover Boy is going to be that. I think it will be significantly better than Scorpion, but still probably not approach the rest of his great albums.
Okay, that's something we kind of talked about when we did our Drake pod. Like, it's hard for artists who have done such great and put up high levels of work to consistently do that. That's what kind of separates them in that realm. And I think Drake is of that realm where his highs are super duper high.
Yes, they are.
It's tough for him to kind of reach that on every single thing he puts out.
Yeah.
But
especially when Terrence is lurking in the bushes.
We're not worried about that old nigga.
Really? Because it seems like you going out of your way to bring that old, to bait that old nigga back in.
Who? Because I mentioned my man and his growing young boy who's on a European trip with his mother. But it's my expectations are similar. not similar to you, but my expectations are pretty high. I think it's going to be a good project. From all the songs that we've seen him release since,
they've been heat.
Yeah,
and he's been rapping.
Yeah, since Scorpion. Scorpion was 2018, I think.
Yeah, it's been a while.
So the last time we've heard from him was the Darklings demo, John. But of the collection of songs that have been released since Scorpion, he has a great album that could be put together.
I agree with that, but I think another thing is Drake is also notorious for dropping, you know, that little a care package or like a pre-album EP of shit that ends up sounding nothing like what's on the actual album. So I can see that too.
At this point, this is, it's called Certified Lover Boy. This nigga's not gonna be rapping that op rap on this one, at least not heavily throughout. But he will.
All right,
he will smoke on your favorite op pack.
So which form we're gonna play America's Favorite Game Show? What culture will Drake appropriate now? What's going to be the main sound of CLB to you?
It's going to be Houston Drake. A little bit of
Houston Drake.
A little bit Houston Drake. Yeah, a little bit Houston Drake. Some Toronto Drake. And maybe a touch of Mandem.
Ooh, yeah. I want a Yay Area Drake.
Oh, no. This is love shit. He'll need hit his thiz face on this one. Maybe on the next certified thiz boy. But, yeah, this is I really have high expectations. I think this is going to be kind of the return to Drake's. I'm not going to say this is going to be a classic album, but this is kind of the return to that high level, that B plus, A minus, puts with the potential to kind of grow to an A level Drake. Because this album has been delayed for almost a year.
It has.
Now
that Kanye's out, I'm sure he wants to show him up as badly as possible.
Yeah, well, he was going to, ever since this kind of whole debate of them kind of dropping together topic kind of came up, Drake is always going to smoke Kanye numbers wise, just because Drake is that big of an entity.
Well, yeah,
is way more controversial at this point. And Drake's been putting out better music than Kanye over the past few years. But yeah.
Few, I will say, pretty consistently for nearly a decade now. I think the last project that Kanye was a part of that was Drake quality was Cruel Summer.
Oh boy.
That was 9 years ago.
This nigga's just disrespecting Kid Cudi in his own state. That's crazy. You'll never see me do that. But yeah, it's we'll see. You know what I'm saying? As anything, we have no control over, but we shall see. I my expectations are high. I think it's gonna be mostly kind of like Certified Lover Boy. I think it's gonna be mostly kind of that love and Drake that we grew up but we all grew to love. You know what I'm saying? Him crooning, him being toxic, and I'm ready for that. The fall is about to come. This is gonna be one of them albums that gets heavy play in the fall. Weather's changing. He's talking that love shit.
That's when Drake hits, man.
Mm-hmm.
He did it a couple of times during our Kent years, and it led to a lot of bad decisions by a lot of people.
Yes, we are all grown now. Hopefully, not saying we still don't have the capacity to make bad decisions, but a little bit more responsible.
Yeah, not bad decisions like that. Bad decisions like
some bad decisions like
I shouldn't eat this piece of cheesecake because I think I'm in the early stages of lactose intolerance type of bad.
I don't know what type of nasty metaphor you're trying to put together here, bud. But. I'm excited, bro. I'm excited.
Yeah, and I'll be honest. Honestly, I am too. I anticipated Scorpion quite a bit as well, but I think it was more just because of the time. I think it was just big summer energy. I was out. I was doing a lot. Was kicking it a lot. You know, you want a Drake soundtrack for your summer. CLB. It's because I'm actually excited, and for the first time in a long time, I am really impressed with the direction that Drake's music has been going in, and the game needs classics. It don't matter who they come from. Like, we are in an era where we're kind of starved for that. Or people rush, again, to call something that's been out for an hour a classic, and it never really gets to sit. And nobody really kind of gets to sit with it and, you know, get a time to marinate and whatnot. And because of that, you're either one of those people that are calling it a classic after an hour, or you're one of those people who then turn against it because people are calling it a classic after an hour. You feel me? And nobody really appreciates or enjoys anything. And Drake is one of the few artists that will give us an opportunity to do that if he hits on it. But I don't know, man. If I'm a betting man, I'm betting against Aubrey at least half the time.
So. That's why you're poor. But I'm always gonna ride with my dog. He's yet to truly fail me, and he's got a platinum hit. He's just gonna throw on there. It's gonna boost the streams. Bringing Smirk back. Hopefully we get some Brent on the album. They work together for a little bit.
Still don't love that song, but
yeah, you gotta. It's one of them ones. It took me a while to kind of start fucking with it heavy. Hopefully he brings Smiley back. But I definitely wouldn't do that the way Smiley smoked him on Over the Top.
I mean, if you really bought his business, OB O'Brien is waiting. He's waiting in the rafters like Sting.
Honestly,
just give him the call.
I don't think Drake can pay that fee. honestly, I don't. That's one of them. That's the big homie, and you only go get him on certain occasions. By the time the podcast will be out by then, by the time we record next, we will have our
September 3rd. So that is Thursday at midnight. We'll have some new Drake for the first time, but a full Drake album for the first time in 3 years. So always a big deal in the pop culture zeitgeist. But before we move on away from the music stuff, I had a couple of just random questions that I was thinking of and kind of been talking out a little bit over the past week. So I'm just giving to you like quick, fast. You answer honestly, you know, like an ink test in your therapist's office.
Well, not guarantee the honest part, but okay, I'll be quick.
Who's somebody whose music that you like, but they so corny that you just can't listen to them? Know my answer.
I don't know, because if I find you corny, there's like, I'm not really gonna listen to you.
But not everybody starts corny though. You know what I'm saying? It could have been somebody that it could have been a particular guy with dusty fuzzy braids that came out of the blog era who kind of had the entire DDMV, you know, of course, the Delaware, DC, Maryland, Virginia area on lockdown. And then he decided that he wanted to be a fucking lame.
I know you're not talking about Mr. Sharing locations. I know. What? I'm not even going to answer your question, because we're going to talk about what you trying to say, my nigga.
I'm trying to say that Meek Mill is the corniest nigga alive. That's what I'm saying. And despite any decent music that he makes, he loses all points by asking about Amazon vibrating panties on Twitter.
My man is trying to spice up his sex life and be a more giving lover in the bedroom instead of focusing from the male gaze. and he gets slandered and called corny. That's some sick shit from
that guy stinks. That guy stinks.
Listen.
Give me an answer.
Listen, he doesn't tweet the best. I'll tell you that. It's not great. But musically, this man has been.
Give me an answer, nigga.
Someone who's I don't know, because really, if I find you corny, it's going to be hard for me to even get there. And if I'm rocking with you, there's not a lot of people who I turn away from. Unless they kind of just do some just foul shit. I'm trying to think of people I've cut off recently. And I don't know. Maybe I'll think of somebody later, but I can't call it right now.
Wow. Shame.
It's not like you just asked that question just to slander Meek. I can't wait till we hang out and Dreams and Nightmares comes on. I'm just going to look at you in your face for 3 minutes and 45 seconds.
Well, joke's on you because we're never going to hang out because Adrian's not a real person.
I keep forgetting. The ghost.
Oh, man. It's starting to get real disappointing. It's starting to get really disappointing.
Yeah.
Who is someone who gets too much credit for their personality, but their music ain't good? So who's somebody who think is hyped up because everybody enjoys them as a person, but they're really not a good artist?
Not Coi Leray. She got some hits. Who do the people like? Who do the people like? Kanye, I guess. I'm trying to think. Do you have an answer?
Personality points. I mean, I think this is obvious, but Sweetie.
I've heard like two Sweetie songs my entire life, and not samples.
she's not great, but you know, everybody on their So Icy shit. Everybody on their I Know That's Right, and you know, it's because of that and her yams. You know, she gets hyped up quite a bit on them just musically, and she's not a great artist.
Yeah, I mean,
I do think she's getting a little better, but she's not great.
I don't even listen to enough Sweetie to even make a determination, but that might be saying that my answer in itself. I don't even bear no mind. I don't know. Yachty, I guess. I don't know.
No, Yachty's a good one. Yachty puts out booty juice.
Yeah, well, I don't even really listen to Yachty to even say. I'm really up to you. In my lane, I listen to like five artists.
Yes.
Over and over.
Reed Dollars, mm-hmm. Murder Mook.
Yep.
I don't know. B Magic.
There you go. Five.
Arsenal, Charlie Clips.
That's my five. If you go through my Apple Music, that's all you're going to see.
Oh, God. You and your love affair battle rappers. Another thing that sucks about you. Fucking. Let it go.
I like
them niggas ain't going nowhere.
I like niggas who are intellectual. I'm sorry I don't watch whatever shows you like. Real House Niggas of real House Niggas of Stowe or whatever you watch. like
that's me. that's I.
You are the Real House Nigga of Stowe.
Yeah, pretty much. I don't know. Battle rap is just. I told you I was going to slander everything that you loved on this pod.
Well, you have to have a certain level of intellect, much like a J. Cole project, to understand battle rap. Some of you niggas don't have it. What can I say?
Bitches a difference. I don't know, man. Like, I love the art in it. Like, it's a competition. You know, some of our favorite niggas. Like the Broad Street Bully. Came up as legendary battle rappers in their cities. So it's definitely an art to it. It's definitely entertainment to it. I just can't watch it like back to back to back to back to back to back. Them niggas ain't that good.
We'll save this for a deeper talk, but this is offline. But yes, this is a battle rapper, something you got.
Did I hit a nerve?
No, I just wanted to put you onto some good shit.
Okay.
But yes, battle rapper is something that you have to kind of enjoy to watch what I do, and this shit is fire.
Didn't they just start doing official scoring?
What kind of? Yeah, well, there's the URL is like the most popular league in battle rap.
Right.
Recently, they started having these tournaments where they're judged. There's always been some type of judging in some battles throughout rap like history. But again, it's still everything is fucking. Not subjunctive. Is it subjunctive?
Subjunctive? Subjective. Subjective,
yeah. Shout out to that Crown Black from months ago. I finally.
Oh, man. Nigga, what dark, demented place are you in to be drinking Crown Black just cuz?
It's a month. We don't record on Mondays.
Fair.
So, yeah, that's my excuse for that. But.
Crown Black is a dirty fucker. God.
It's not great. I'm not having fun. To be honest.
All right, nigga, Trilly. I still, man, every time I see him mention something about the fucking ham contest, I die. I'm just like, man, how did this gimmick even start?
Oh yeah, you gotta be plugged into, gotta pay that Patreon.
Gotta get past the paywall.
Gotta get past the paywall. I wish I could tell you, brother. You're not gang, unfortunately. I don't know.
But I did have one more music related. Okay, this maybe can kind of blend into it. Okay. Who's someone who you think is probably decent or probably makes okay music, but you just will not take the time to listen to them ever outside of Danny Brown?
I guess they might make decent music. Jack Harlow is fire, I guess. Not really for me. Not. Yeah. I'm usually biased against white rappers.
same.
But I don't know. It's just, I don't know. I don't dislike him like I dislike other white rappers.
Yeah.
He's just, I don't know. It's not really. I do enjoy his comedic skits with Drewski.
Yeah,
Drewski don't miss, dog.
Oh my god, Drewski is on shooting at a legendary clip right now.
He's very. You see the John with him and Luke Combs?
Yes. gotta hike those fuckers up.
Those fuckers up. That's a big one. I think you hooked the tree. Yeah, probably Jack Harlow's probably one of them. Belly. Want to get into Belly?
Belly, but like, yeah, that's definitely one. Yeah. Belly's one for me. Who's in that same class? Honestly, your boy Nav.
Nav is fucking fire.
He crosses over from that corny shit to me. He's so fucking corny. He probably makes decent music, but I'm never gonna listen to it. So
you can only be so you can only be so corny when the real ones fuck with you.
So tough titties there. I had another one.
You sound on so much just good chill shit. But alas.
Let's also listen
to No Malice, so there's only so much I could
whoa, brother. Whoa. I'm not about to let you sit up here and slander my name.
You don't listen to Decreased Malice?
I can honestly say I've never heard a No Ill Will. I've never heard any Let Bygones Be Bygones ever in my life.
Yeah, I don't know where I pulled that name from, but yes, it's did he still rap after he left him push kind of?
Yeah. Did it? Yeah.
Yikes.
It did. But which kind of brings me into the next topic, man. It really bothered me. You know, I try not to get too overly invested in social media anymore just because of some of the effects that it's had on me mentally throughout the pandemic. But I got pretty peeved the other day, man.
Peeved?
I got pretty peeved. There was a lot of negative Wale speech. A lot of Wale hate speech was going on last week, and I was not here for it.
Okay. Luckily, I didn't see this Wale hate. I did see you and my dog, Julian. Shout out to my brother, Julian, CLB.
Yes, sir.
Congratulations on your engagement, my boy.
Yes.
I saw you guys kind of talk about Wale going back and forth, but luckily, I didn't see, like, the Wale slander, because I would have reacted had I come across it.
Beware the L's Live from Jubon's Wedding. Yes.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Now let's get into it. Hey, if we got to cut out the middleman, Mr. Moneybags, to get this live pod off, then we gonna do it.
The deceit.
Listen, I learned from the Bishop Sycamore.
If you can't do it, just be overage niggas on your own.
Man, it all started from a tweet, and I think of somebody from Cleveland too, unfortunately.
Oh, wow. I'm just fucking up all over the place.
Yeah. But it was a tweet that said something along the lines of, it's wild or it's ridiculous to think that Wale was ever mentioned in the same breath as Cole and Drake. And
I did see that tweet, and I purposely ignored it. That's what it was. I remember that wording. Yeah.
Yeah, and I listen, man, I don't you know, speak on too many social issues anymore, but this was an important one. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, no, I was just like, you gotta understand, man, it's people that wasn't outside that's saying that. And again, that's coming from somebody that had never, at that point in my life, had never stepped foot anywhere near the DMV. And really got to experience Wale at the height of his powers, you know, during a very good time musically in that era, in that area, all around, not just Wale. And even me being here in Cleveland, I felt his presence. I felt his influence. So it's the niggas that wasn't outside or the niggas that wasn't into rap in 2009, 2010, 2011, that say stupid shit like that. But Wale was that nigga, and it was a minute. Niggas was running neck and neck. All of those dudes, the Kendricks, Big Crits, Wale, Cole, Big Sean, Drake, all of them, they was all in the same class, and it was not a lot of separation either.
At all. No, like, this is, like, I got hip to Wale early, being like from somewhat close to the region. Shout out to my brother James, put me on to Ice Cream Girl way back in the day. I was running shit. But that's so yeah, that's it's, if you weren't there, you really won't know. And even those who kind of came late, kind of like you said, when you were at the height of his powers, you saw that he was doing hits, he was putting out great projects, hanging around with everybody else. Like, he was deservingly mentioned in the class with the heavyweights, because at the time where Wale was a heavyweight. I think now people are kind of who weren't kind of age or rocking back when he was at his heaviest or even on his come up, they kind of have kind of known him mainly as the nigga who kind of bitches for his respect on Twitter.
Yeah.
And I think that has kind of
Lupe Fiasco.
No one cares about them swords. I don't follow Lupe to even see him bitching, unfortunately.
Nah, but, his page be private.
Oh, well, that makes sense. Yeah. But yeah, so like, that kind of has shaped a little bit of the narrative on Wale negatively. Because the nigga still makes great music. Falorin 2 was on the way, and I'm highly anticipating that.
I really liked Falorin. And it's one that has aged well.
See, I didn't love Falorin. But it's...
I mean, it's no Festivus, but it's pretty good.
No, Level 111 Theory. But like, I'm looking, I pulled up the...
Level 111, they're so good. God.
The One-Eyed Cat.
yes.
Yeah, I pulled up
the One-Eyed Cat song.
One-Eyed Cat, you're right, right. I'm getting a little nasty. But the freshman class, his freshman 10, he was arguably the best. I don't know if he was the hottest at the point, but the freshman he came in with was...
Was that 09?
09, yep. It was
B.O.B.,
Charles Sam.
It was him.
Asher Roth. Mm-hmm. Corey Guns, Blue, Mickey Fax,
Corey Guns,
Ace Hood, Spit Currency, the Hot Spitter, and Kid Cudi. So it's probably
crazy thing, like, is Currency had already been around for so long before he got on there.
Yeah,
which is insane.
Currency was No Limit. Currency was Cash Money. Currency been around a while, man. He just dropped the project to Friday. So salute to him. Another fire. But yeah, Wale was the hottest nigga.
He was
a freshman cover.
Because, you know, basically what I said was in my tweet, I was like, yeah, like, you wasn't there, you don't understand. Like, Wale was considered by many the best lyricist out of that group. And it wasn't, at the time, it wasn't ridiculous to say, because he was rapping a lot differently back then. And even people like Kendrick hadn't fully become Kendrick at that point. He was still kind of in his K-Dot phase. And he rapped a lot differently, and it did not sound like the Kendrick that we know and love today. So it was very easy to say that Wale was the best rapper out of that group. And he wasn't, I think I said verbatim, he didn't have the formula to last. And I think AJ commented and was saying that he thought I was saying that he didn't have the formula to make hits, which was not it. I was saying he didn't have the formula to remain around in the way that Drake and Cole and Kendrick did. But within that, AJ also stated, and it reminded me, Wale had the hits. Like, outside of, I guess, Drake, who had the you know, the Young Money, he had the Wayne rub on him. Wale was the one that was dropping off all the hits in 09, 2010, 2011. And he had some pretty damn big ones. Listen,
I was going to say, just touch on real quickly, like, as far as kind of the formula, like, he went through a lot of label issues. He bounced around a lot and still kind of bounced around to this day. And I think that kind of had something to do with him just not having that consistent backing to kind of do that. And even through that, he's given us classic albums and hits. But, like, Wale is one of the guys who I am waiting for to do a Versus. Because if he were to do a Versus, then he'll be able to roll out all these hits he has.
Yeah.
For the people who don't know or aren't familiar or think his catalog is light. Wale's got a ton of shit on it, like his shit.
So many.
Feature shit. Wale's got a lot of fucking
records. He's got a lot of features. He's got a lot of Jeremiah songs.
He's got a lot of like, it was the point of time when I think he was the first MMG signing. And I was like, oh shit. Wale and Ross, that shit's crazy. And then they brought me. I was like, oh my god, this is Durant.
What a time.
Durant, Harden, and Kyrie. I 2 years in the future, I foresaw it then.
Oh man, the MMG era was special.
Oh man, I still run a Pandemonium in Ambition.
And fucking Play Your Part.
Use me. Shout out to Steve Francis. The All-Star game just came on. But yeah, Wale, like, if you were to get into a Versus, I don't think he's a do one though. He's kind of still kind of, I don't think he's going to wash enough to go ahead and get that Versus done. But he's got a ton.
Far from it.
No, fuck you.
I'm sorry, man. Wale was my second favorite rapper for quite a long time.
His last album, his last full project was Wow, That's Crazy, which was very, very good.
Good album.
Very, very good album.
I enjoyed it. But
he ain't washed, nigga.
And listen, man, and I do still think Wale has, he's never really stopped making quality projects, but I think he still has, and a lot of that's perfect timing. I think he's got one more big hit left in him. And if, you know, you combine one big hit with the right project behind it, and you can do something. I think he's got like 1.5 like strong hits left. So I would love to see it happen. You know, but it's in order to not just strike and break through that glass ceiling in hip hop, but to stay around as well, you got to have the organic following. You got to have the hit singles. You got to have the consistently quality projects. And you got to have, you got to be liked as well. You know what I'm saying? Like, people have to want to continue to support you and you got to have the right label situation. And Wale is somebody who's not very well liked because he hasn't presented himself as very likable. He comes across as somebody who is extremely insecure. He's not secure with his legacy. He's constantly comparing himself to people and trying to argue his case as to why he's as good or better than some people. A lot of people that he's cool with, to the point where they're like, hey, nigga, go sit down. You know what I'm saying? And it's just like, it's very Mad King-y. And all of that has come together and it's kind of torn him down to the point where he ain't almost washed because he's not making good music anymore. He almost washed just because his time came and went. And now he's in a pretty big hole to try to dig himself out of.
Yeah, I completely disagree with that kind of washed or his time coming and went. Wale, he's got a big enough of a fan base still. Like, he doesn't have the massive following as some of the other contemporaries who came up. But the way he's still putting out quality music, he's going to be around for as long as he wants to. Around and relevant kind of in the area in which he believes he should be relevant. He might think he should be bigger, but I think he's going to remain relevant to the.
Oh, I mean, sure, yeah, he'll remain in the currency Big Crit lane for forever. But we talking about Wale's potential as a top guy, and that's gone. and partially because he didn't. It seemed like at times he didn't want it.
Well, I don't know about the didn't want it part. Well, I guess maybe there were times where he was kind of content playing the kind of.
You got to compromise yourself in order to do that. You got to compromise your artistic vision. He ain't never really been one to do that, with the exception of maybe a little bit on Ambition, but even there, just a little bit.
Shine, I think Shine was more of a reach to kind of make his sound. That Shine, to me, didn't really sound like a Wale project to me. But, yeah, like, I mean, that's kind of not necessarily his fault in a point where he was never one of the biggest, because he came up literally with three of kind of the best of all time, if you will. Like, there are three kind of, at least two and a half-ish, like, first ballot Hall of Fame type rap niggas.
Yeah.
Contemporaries. I mean, like, there's your Drake, there's your Kendrick, and however you feel about Cole. But those are, like, three, like, all-time type guys. And in kind of the classification in groups of rap, there's not going to be, like, five or six guys from kind of the same era. We don't really have eras like that anymore. But there's never going to be, like, five or six guys who are kind of all the guy at one time, if that makes sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's I understand, and I don't think anybody is expecting him to be, to kind of hold on, you know, like the first 15, 20 meters of 100 meters, and everybody's like right there neck and neck, and then you're like, yeah, you know, eventually some guys are going to pull away. But for me, not to say there's not any reason, because we just named all the reasons why it, you know, his career kind of plateaued, or he may have hit some of those high levels but couldn't sustain it. And it is for all those things that we mentioned. However, I still feel as if just from a talent side, just from a following side, I still can't fully wrap my head around the fact that he's not, forget Drake, Kendrick, and Cole, that he's not bigger than Big Sean, that he's not bigger than ASAP Rocky. You get what I'm saying? Shit like that bothers me. Because he should be.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I'm really, like, numbers-wise. Because to me, he's kind of bigger than both of those guys.
He's not, though. And this is coming from a Wale fan. I'm trying to be objective. He's really not.
I mean, Rocky, he's bigger than Rocky, I would say.
I don't think so, man.
Sean might have got him. Sean's been more active, and
that's what I mean. People don't talk about why. We're not just talking about numbers.
Rocky outside, like right now, they said Rocky is a. We're talking about who he's dating. We're not talking about him musically. I mean,
yeah, that's true.
And his last album, but ass too.
Yes, it was. Yes,
some like hot shit that he's just sitting on for a while. Like, this nigga hasn't quality music in a while.
Man, we talk about Ferg supremacy all the time, man. That's where I'm at.
It's actually ASAP 12E is who you're talk about, or ASAP Nast.
But speaking of massive disappointments, football season is about to start, and you're a fan of the Washington Redacted.
You said massive disappointments? There's been one team in this group, in this here podcast, who won a division.
Yeah, you cut out for a second.
I stopped. I thought you had cut out. So I'll repeat myself again.
Oh,
there's only one team in this podcast who won a division last year. Is that Cap?
No, there's no hat there. But there's also only one team in this year podcast that's being picked by quite a few people to go to the Super Bowl this year. I don't see anybody picking Antonio Gibson to go to the Super Bowl, buddy.
Looks like you don't read WashingtonRedactors.com like I do. yeah, I mean, let's hope your quarterback can finally got off the commercial set and wants to go ahead and put in some work this year.
Listen, Baker can do as many fucking commercials as he wants, because goddamn, he's shitting gold these days. People should just be shutting up and enjoying the show.
That nigga got all the commercials.
Yes, he has quite a few.
Y'all hype this nigga up because he hit the he whipped one time, and y'all made him your Lord and Savior. That's some sick shit.
Hey man, listen, did the same thing with Justin Timberlake. That worked out well for a while, huh?
Well, one, Baker could never pull off cornrows like Justin did, or Gene on Gene like Justin did. But yes, my Washington Redacted's we got a quarterback this year. You know what I'm saying? A good white,
you do,
good white man from Harvard.
I've always been a Ryan Fitzpatrick fan, but let's talk about the rest of the team.
We can talk about all that. We got the best defense in the NFL.
Really?
We were the second best defense last year, and we only got better. Offensively, we got the best young one running back in the game, AG.
Sure.
Memphis, you know what I'm saying? He listens to good music.
Cocaine Mercy. Oh boy, I almost got really problematic.
Oh boy.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Let's see, getting close to wrapping this one up.
I can sense it. Yeah, the rest of the offense is fine. We're gonna go ahead and finish second in the division this year. Then we're gonna
make second in the division. Who else is in your division?
Them Cowboys. Dak is back.
Okay. So Cowboys win the division.
I don't care about winning the division. I just need to make it to the playoffs. Once we make it to the dance, it's a wrap. We gave Brady and them the toughest game of the playoffs last year with a quarterback who was twiddling his thumbs and playing with an abacus.
But did you win?
It's different.
You won a division title, but did you win a playoff game?
No, we played the Super Bowl champions. We didn't We didn't lose the Chad Henne and them. I remember. me and Pepperidge Farm remember.
You know what? I'll
that's right. Yeah, you got me all riled up behind this Wale and Meek and Drake shit. I'm here.
I told you I was gonna make you mad.
You did.
fucking fired up. I think that you guys. I think y'all gonna finish tied for last with the Knigs.
Who are the Knigs?
The New York Giants, the NYGs.
I've never heard that before, but that might get added to the dictionary. But no, that's false. The Eagles suck. I'm not. Why am I entertaining your bullshit? Your division. Lamar's the blackest nigga on the planet. He's gonna be back.
Yeah.
In rare form.
They missing J.K. Dobbins. Mad for my boy, but you know,
it's my dog from my dog from Buckham. You know how I feel
about from Buckham State.
Two allegations is back. You know what I'm saying? He's got the receiving core back together.
Those little bitches. Fuck them.
T.J. Watt is
gonna. I beat them niggas up.
Who? They going, man. Chase Claypool gonna hit you upside the head and then TikTok that shit. Juju going to do the
Juju Claypool Deontay Johnson. We will be in Pittsburgh eventually.
At some point, yeah.
Come see me.
Oh, chill out. Last time I was up in Pittsburgh, I ran to a practice squad Steeler.
Oh boy.
Yeah, so we might actually see them niggas out there. keep the same energy, but So T.J. Watt, he's upset about the 2020 election. He's coming around the corner with bad intentions. Joe Burrow, he's back. You know what I'm saying? Jamar Chase is cool. Y'all niggas might finish last, to be honest. Odell, back.
No, stop it.
Y'all thought y'all was better without Odell. He's gonna be dancing.
Stop it. The Browns are gonna go. I am going a conservative 12-5. It sounds disgusting to say, doesn't it?
Yeah, I don't like
just to add up to 17.
That's 17. Shit.
12 a conservative 12-5.
Are you accounting for Myles Garrett? Violently assaulting anybody this year?
Yeah. Factor that in too. Conservative 12-5, high end 13-4. Finished no lower than the second seed in the AFC, and we gonna skedaddle all the way into that damn Super Bowl.
No.
Okay.
Smart rebuttal. No. Y'all not. Chiefs are better than y'all. The Bills.
Not by much.
Josh Allen says nigga.
Josh Allen suck my dick.
He says nigga, so I don't even might suck your nigga dick. I don't know.
But okay. That's, you know what? The football talk's over. Browns are going to the Super Bowl. The former Washington dick skins, not quite.
The Red Wolf.
Let's wrap it up, man. What's your L of the week? I hope I gave you enough time to think.
Yes, I kind of was freestyling going along. My Owl of the Week has got to go to the United States for the way we left Afghanistan. So President Trump signed a deal with the Taliban as he was leaving office. Kind of gave them some concessions with the intention.
That's wild. Just negotiating with the Taliban on the way out. They're like, hey, you know what? Fuck it.
Hey, man, if you watched Homeland, they was trying to link up with the Taliban and negotiate with them. So I was hit, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to Claire Danes and them. They got me aware of how the Taliban gets down. But, so they negotiate with the Taliban to eventually pull the remaining United States army folk in them out of Afghanistan and kind of let them be. And then that didn't really take effect until recently when the Biden administration. But the way we left has been just wild as shit.
Not good.
We started to pull out and we were getting reports that the Taliban was overtaking Kabul, which I believe is the capital city. Then it got to the point where we've seen videos and stuff online of planes trying to leave on the tarmac, and there are hundreds and thousands of people trying to get on these planes because they know that the Taliban's coming back into power, and they've seen from the time of the Gulf War through 9/11, Taliban controlled Afghanistan and they lived through all the terrors and atrocities that went on then, and a lot of people were trying to get out because they didn't want to go through that again. We saw horrifying videos of people holding on to the wheels of the plane as the plane is flying, eventually falling to their deaths and such.
Wow. Absolutely wild.
And we've had a suicide bombing recently that killed, I think it was 13 service people from the United States, Afghani people. And I think now, I think it was as of earlier today or as of yesterday, we finally have all of our army and service people out of Afghanistan. Since sending them over there in 2001. But the way we kind of left and how quickly the Taliban has taken over, it's just wild to see, man. I don't know what could have been done to prevent this or make it go smoother, but either way, it's a stain on the Biden legacy. And a stain on the United States is kind of as we were operating in foreign countries. It's kind of ugly to say when we leave, all shit goes to hell.
Yeah, I got a thread for you. I got to send you. It was basically a guy talking about, basically saying it was a lost cause from the beginning, and we really didn't have any other choices. It was either just kind of continue to stay there and be in the middle of all of it, or just cut your losses, call it an ill, and move on. So basically, it was an ill from the beginning. You know, when your boy W sent us over there. So it's, you know, it was definitely handled horribly, and it's been handled horribly, and Biden definitely deserves his criticism, but it was a war that we were never gonna win, just like Vietnam. And it really never, we wasted a lot of time and a lot of resources, but you know, you wanna get into conspiracy theories. We always got to be fighting a war to justify the increased military budget that, you know, we get every year, and that trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars are spent on and then sprinkled out and dispersed to all these, you know, various government members. It's because they got to get their payola. You feel me? Of course. So, you know, we get into that all day, but definitely, yes, the U.S. government deserves a fat L for that one. Speaking of governments, we're going to take it down to the local level. The Waukesha, Wisconsin School Board.
Waukesha?
Yes, it's spelled Waukesha. they decided that kids don't deserve food.
You're drinking Waukesha, you should be eating food.
They decided to, and never heard of nothing like this before, they opted out of the federal free lunch program that's provided in their school district. They said, no. Money? No. We don't need that. 40%, just about 40% of the kids in the district are eligible for the free lunch. And they elected to opt out of this program because they didn't want kids to become too spoiled or too entitled by eating food at school every day.
That's one thing I did see kind of coming up looking back now, that all the people who I went to school with who got free lunch are very spoiled. They didn't amount to anything in society because they had to eat food that when their parents or whatever situation allowed them to get free food. That's just stupid, man.
It's evil, man.
I didn't realize it was something you could even opt out of.
Me neither. No idea. It's evil. I think they said that the school board members' information is public domain, so they got doxxed like a motherfucker, but rightfully so.
Absolutely.
And it's just, you know, it's again another one of those things that's designed to disproportionately target us. To target, you know, a lot of that 40% of the school district is made up of Black kids. And is trying to force the Black kids out of the district to go to districts where there is free lunch. You get what I'm saying? And it's all for a reason. And it is just all so cruel and just reminds you how fucked up the world is. You know, forget just racist. Like a lot of kids, a lot of children, they only eat at school. That's their only sustenance, their only nourishment that they get all day. And to not, again, it's one thing if you had to reallocate funds. I mean, it still wouldn't be right, obviously. But it's one thing if you had to reallocate funds, be like, oh, shit, well, we got to choose between free lunch and having an art and a gym program. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And not that. It's literally turning down free money that does not have to be paid back. It's like getting, you know, filling out your FAFSA and getting a grant or a scholarship that requires absolutely no reimbursement, being like, nope, I think I'm going to be poor and eat ramen noodles all semester. Never mind.
Like, it doesn't, like, what sense does it make to turn that down? Like, the rationale being, oh, it's going to make kids spoiled. It's not like these niggas get free lunch for the rest of their lives. It's not. No. Like if you eat one free lunch meal in the first grade, all your meals for the rest of life are free. Eventually, kids are going to have to start paying for their lunches, and they'll learn responsibility and shit then, if that's your weird rationale behind it. But to turn down something that only is going to help the most vulnerable people, most vulnerable kids in your schools, in your school district, in your system, that's dumb. And the reason behind it, it doesn't make any sense. And it's...
No,
it's disgusting, honestly.
And they gave some more, you know, BS explanations, like, oh, well, when we had a free breakfast program last year, we would hand out a breakfast to every kid to walk through the door, and there would end up being an accumulation of food that was thrown away and a lot of shit in the trash. Well, maybe some people had the chance to eat at home. So why don't you offer it to everybody?
God damn it, yeah.
Why don't you, when they walk in the door, instead of just forcing a box of cereal in their hands, be like, hey, would you like something?
They in there throwing 92-mile-an-hour change-ups of sausage, egg, biscuits at these kids. And said, hey, are you hungry? Did you eat breakfast? Would you like some? That's stupid. Like that.
Yeah.
Like, shit like this, and to watch kind of adults who are biased and have their agendas affect the lives of kids. Like, a lot of these kids, these adults might not have kids in the district. They truly might not give a fuck about what goes on here. And for them to kind of have that power and make that decision, it's sad to see, honestly. I hope that all those who are affected are able to kind of come up with something, or they do kind of... Or maybe the community comes together and puts something together to kind of replace this. But that's fucked up.
Yeah, fucked up on the deepest of levels. And, you know, we're seeing it all over, obviously, with all these school board meetings, these just big waste of time, people crying, complaining about masks and vaccines and whatnot. When it comes down to it, in this world, in this planet, there are lots of people dying. There are people dying for a lot of different reasons. Hurricanes, forest fires, malnourishment, you know, being impoverished, COVID, you know, anti-max, anti-vax, taking horse dewormer, whatever the fucking situation is, racism, sexism, homophobia, whatever. People are dying every fucking day.
Yep.
And there are, again, it's been the theme of the episode. There are a lot of these things are very easily preventable, but the powers that be would rather take the hard way out. They would actually choose to make things more difficult for themselves than to do the right thing, which is also easier.
Yeah, like this just doesn't make any sense when you're looking at it either way from these Waukeshans.
The Waukeshans. So, let's give the Waukeshans the biggest hee-haw.
Yeah. We're not pouring up any raw for you guys. for the folks in Wisconsin.
Yeah. But
uh-oh, wait a minute.
We're at the end.
I'm on Drake's Instagram. Huh? He's giving out t-shirts, and some of these t-shirts would got some quotes on them, and I think we're getting super toxic Drake back. One of the shirts says something other than me has got to give.
Oh, that's a good
shirking accountability. I don't miss .. let alone miss you. Oh boy, this album's gonna be a classic. Should have said you love me today because tomorrow is a new day. I'm calling it right now.
Wes on CNN is calling
I'm calling.
You know what?
I'm hearing from my sources.
I think we've seen enough, America.
Wait, you think I'm calling it? Wait till it drops and I turn to Van Jones. Knocking, tell my kids to drink. I'm Van Jones, man, for that dumbass shit. But yes, I'm calling it now. This is gonna be Drake's Off the Wall. And
wow,
I'm excited.
Well, I would be excited, but you know, I know I said I was earlier, but it's also Aubrey. So I gotta stay loyal to my one true king, Pusha T. And it's fuck Drake.
I do not respect your opinion. This podcast was a mistake. I hope to never hear from you again.
Well, motherfucker, you will hear from me again because I don't go away like herpes. So, appreciate me as I am and appreciate me as a real motherfucking nigga who understands that Meek Mill is the worst. Good night, ladies and gentlemen.
Goodbye.